That entry is not valid. Please enter your access code, followed by the pound sign. That entry is not valid. You have been... There are two participants in the conference.
Good morning. This is Glenn Brady online.
Good morning. This is Interim Director Klinkhart. Just letting everybody know, thank you for logging in. We're waiting for the chairman, and just a friendly reminder to please check to double-check to make sure your phones are muted. Thanks.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Glenn Brady online. Hey, Clink, are you there?
I am. I was just before you logged in, I asked everybody to mute their phones and be patient while we waited for you.
Yep. Yeah, no, I'm here, been patiently waiting as well. So awesome. We're good to go whenever you guys are ready.
Okay, well, I'm ready. If you want to check to make sure the rest of your board is here.
Yeah, so I'll just do a roll call very quickly. Rex, Leith, are you on? All right, not yet. Sarah, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so Sarah Erickson, our public member from Soldotna, Kenai area. Is it Soldotna or Kenai?
Well, I think officially on the board, it's Kenai, which is 8 miles from me. So, yeah,
okay.
Kenai.
All right.
I think he's referred to this whole area. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah, the whole, that part of the world. Okay. And then Rex Leith, are you with us yet? Not yet. And then Glenn Klinkhart is, I assume Charlie's still busy with his day job stuff?
I suspect so, but certainly it wouldn't hurt to ask and see. Hey, Charlie, are you on the line this morning?
All right, he's probably got his hands full on hospital activities. Yep.
GCI is, just for everybody's edification, GCI is still struggling with their bandwidth problems from yesterday that we talked to them about, and they said to keep trying. So for those folks, hopefully they'll keep trying so you can get a quorum here.
Okay. And then Dana, are you with us this morning?
Yes, Glenn, I am online, and I did try dialing in a few minutes beforehand and got a non-connect message. So
okay,
that's like that they are blocking some calls or not all calls getting through. But I was able to redial within 2 minutes and get connected.
Okay. Well, appreciate that feedback and welcome. Thanks again. So for those listening, Dana Wilukowicz is our other industry member from Anchorage. We'll wait a few more minutes and give folks a chance to try to navigate the technology, and with hope they can get through to us.
Mr. Chair, can you hear me? This is Todd Sherwood from the municipality.
I can hear you, yes.
So yesterday, and follow-up email went out from your folks that had the incorrect access code. The correct one is 69173 hatch mark, and it went to one of our people as 69174 hatch mark. So I don't know if that is also part of the reason that, I mean, that's why he couldn't get into the right meeting.
Ah,
and then
okay.
We got it straightened out. But if you have some way of having staff send that out again, because there may be a lot of people that can't find the right call in then.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Interim Director Klinkhart, if you could maybe have somebody else dial into that other number and make sure there's not a pool of people wondering what the heck's going on.
Yeah, I don't have anybody here in the office for safety reasons, but I'll do it myself.
I'll take care. Appreciate it. Yeah, we'll hang tight for a little bit longer and let people gather.
Chair Brady, this is Rex Lee. I just got connected.
Okay, thanks, Rex. All right, welcome. So we've got quorum. Director Klinkhart was offline just for a moment, checking to make sure there's not another group of people on another different conference line. So we're going to hang tight for just a few minutes. So welcome. So that was Rex Leith, our public safety member from Wasilla. And then while we're online, do we have Joan Wilson with us? Not yet. Okay.
Good morning, Mr. Brady. This is Carrie Craig. I was just going to let you know that Joan is having troubles linking in, so she'll okay. She'll be here as soon
Thanks
as she can.
Feedback, and we'll patiently wait for just a little bit. And while we're waiting, just for edification and reference, Bob Klein, are you lurking about there, listening in? All right, he's enjoying some time off, I hope so.
This is Bob.
Just oh, Bob's.
Just
okay.
GCI took about.
Okay. I was just asking after you, so glad you're able to be with us. We're waiting a few more moments for folks to navigate the technology here.
Okay, I'm here.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks. All right. And for those of you guys patiently waiting online, we're just giving everybody a few more moments before we bring the meeting to order, trying to get folks to be able to navigate the conference call technology here that's apparently bottlenecked on the GCI end. So appreciate your patience, everybody.
This is Interim Director Klinkhart, Chairman.
Hey, all right, welcome back.
Yeah, GCI still tells us that they're having intermittent problems with bandwidth. They don't know when they're going to fix it. I did check the other conference and had everybody come over to this one if they can. So I think we're at least moving forward. Not perfect, but we're getting there.
Okay, well, appreciate that. And with hope, we've got everybody... I think we were waiting for Joan. She was having, Carrie mentioned she was having trouble getting online, but was still trying. So are you with us yet, Joan? Not yet. Okay. Well, we'll fingers crossed we can get her online here soon. All right, well, I'll bring this meeting to order, and we're going to get started slowly. So we'll do the, we've kind of done the informal roll call, so confirming we have Rex Leith, our Vice Chair and Public Safety Member from Wasilla Online. Yes. Okay. And then we've got Sarah Erickson, our public member from Kenai.
Yes.
And we've got Dana Walukowicz, our industry member from Anchorage online.
Present,
thank you. And I am Glenn Brady, industry member from Fairbanks. And we'll call this meeting to order. Director Klinkhart, if you could do me the favor of recapping what we have done yesterday for anybody online, but since we've reshuffled the agenda, just let everybody know what we've already gotten done in case they were waiting.
All righty. Thank you, Chairman. Quickly, I'll just kind of go through my notes here. We, of course, took care of the basic stuff, money, the directors, enforcement reports, things like that. But for what most people are probably wondering about is that we got through the security interest and transfers and involuntary retransfers. So any of those, looks like four or five people that were in that, those have all been approved. Tourism licenses, new and transfer applications was passed. Public convenience was also passed if you were one of the two people there. Outdoor recreational lodge, that was also passed by the board. The delegated consent agenda, new and transfer applications. If you were one of the, looks like we got all the way through R, a number of people who are listed there, that has passed as well. So you're good to go there. I also have on my notes here that the consent agenda, new and transfer applications, which was, looks like A through G, those all passed, if that was one of yours. Tourism licenses was moved, motion seconded, and voted by roll call. We got those two passed. Other tourism renewals, looks like those we did, yes, including Alsalask Inn, and a typo of 3301 was added. Everything was motioned and passed, and the other tourism renewals, if you had something there, which was quite lengthy, at 51 licenses. Recreational site license renewal was passed, including the renewal application licenses. Other rec site licenses were also passed. And we also did the very large delegated consent agenda, and those all passed. If you are on the phone and we're waiting for that, all of them passed, so you're good to go there. And I would ask Carrie, our licensing, if I missed anything on her notes.
This is Carrie. I believe you covered it. We went through the alcohol mailbox with the exception of the Creek Bend emails, which will be linked in with a Creek Bend application later this morning. Other than that, I think you covered it.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you to our hardworking staff for keeping track of that and keeping us in line. And with that, I'd like to welcome everybody to part two of our meeting of the Alcohol Beverage Control Board. Very briefly, I'll open the floor up for public comments for items not on the agenda. If anybody's got anything that you can get off their chest, it's not related to an agenda item, now is a good chance. All right. Hearing none throughout the meeting, if anybody has got anything.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Eugene Haverick. Can you hear me?
I'm sorry, could you identify yourself again, please?
Eugene Carl Haverman.
Okay. All right. Welcome, Eugene. Did you have a comment or?
Okay. Can you explain before I speak one key thing? This is
sure thing.
Limited non-agenda items, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then the last part is there a place on those agenda items for the public to speak later on that are on?
Just general comments not related to agenda items? Is that your question?
No. Well, I'm saying is you answered the first part. And then the second part is when that agenda item that you haven't covered yet, when that comes up, are you allowing the public to speak?
Yeah, qualified, yes. So,
Okay, I'll make a statement right now. And how long do I have, please?
You have 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll be brief. My name is Eugene Carl Haberman, Alaska resident for over 43 years, a resident in Anchorage for approximately 20, and currently a resident in Anchorage. I realize we're all in difficult times, unknown for the future, and things have changed. But it's vitally important that what we do, particularly with government and connecting with people, the conversation is more critical with the people before those decisions are made. Having a more distant approach, which I have been witnessing both in Anchorage, the Valley, and at state level, has created more concern about what the government is doing in their decision process. And this was shown with the ADA meeting last week, which almost everyone that testified addressed concerns on the process and how it has been fast-tracked. The other thing is, when looking at the agenda, it's unclear as far as normally you would have an ability to have what we call a sign-up, email, even if because of these times right now, an ability for people to communicate that I want to be heard and a sign-up sheet. I don't see that shown up here. I had to speak on the phone and during the meeting and say, can I speak? That's not the way to go. And think about how many other people that are online, do they want to speak? There needs to be a transparent of who's on there on that list, a fair chance to be able to sign up, not that very day, or not just on the phone to say, hello, can I speak? That's not the way to go. And the items on the agenda there, how are you going to identify with the people to be able to speak on those items? It creates what we call a chaos situation and a fear of people being disrespectful to other people, which we critically cannot do. So this is what's happening. This is the type of meeting that's happening on the phone right now. And to members of the press, we continue to allow for refusing to identify the process, appropriate process that I've identified over years. And for the record, note, the April 4th will start my ninth year of full-time being doing the self-appointed government watchdog auditing the public process. And anyone I'll stress this last part of the scenario is, you have continued to allow this situation to continue. And all fairness, this has hurt everybody, making people more uncomfortable of how things work, continue to work, not for the people, but for those who have a self-interest. And that ends my comment, and I encourage you to ask me any questions. And that's it.
All right. Well, thank you, Eugene. Appreciate that commentary. And I echo some of your concerns. And it is our board's imperative in the interests of representing the public good and in the name of regulation of the alcohol industry at large. Maintenance of transparency and openness is foremost, both for me personally, and I can't speak for my fellow board members, but knowing them, we hear you loud and clear, and share some of your concerns with regard to the unique challenges we are all facing with respect to how we can gather and assemble and still conduct the public's business. And we want to keep in spirit and in practice, to the greatest extent possible, that openness and dialogue that is essential in what we're doing here. So I do appreciate that, and your comments are heard. And I apologize for the technological challenges that we're struggling with. And if you were online yesterday, we fully acknowledge some of the technological shortcomings that are standing in the way of more openness and transparency. And you may have heard that we're actively pursuing better mechanisms and vehicles to be able to conduct business in this way and still maintain the necessary public involvement and transparency. So anybody else have any comments or questions for Eugene? All right, any other public comments?
This is Jason Motika, if I may. There were some technical issues yesterday, and I had some emails of some people wondering if you guys could highlight and summarize where we're at on the consideration of the motion to authorize to-go orders and what steps were being taken and what the public comments related to that was yesterday for people that couldn't log in.
Okay. Well, just I don't know if you heard the business we conducted yesterday. We have reordered the agenda. So what Interim Director Klinkhart had listed just a few minutes ago was everything that we did do yesterday, which is what I call the easy stuff. And we've deferred the topics that will require more consideration and input for today to give us time to go through that public process and have the discussion we need to have. So you didn't miss anything. That's still coming for later today.
All right. Thanks, Glenn.
Yep. Appreciate it. Any other comments? And in the spirit of openness and transparency, throughout the meeting, I will do everything I can to allow for public input. We're maintaining order and being able to get our business done. So we want to hear if you've got a stake in an issue or input. Certainly do your best to kind of raise your hand, as it were, electronically and let your desire to speak be known, and I'll do my best to roll that in to the discussion. So appreciate everybody's patience with this kind of new process that hopefully we'll have sorted out here very soon. So with that, we'll move forward with the next agenda item. We're a little bit behind, so I'd like to look at renewal applications for licensees with 2018 and 2019 NOVs, and I would like to take that group as a block, with the exception of tab 90, which is the license 324 Seward Ale House, and 103, which is license 3213 First City Saloon. And I just had some questions about those licenses that I thought merited further discussion. If any other of my fellow directors have any other things in that list that they would like to pull out for separate consideration, I would entertain a motion to consider the renewal applications for licensees with 2018-2019 NOVs will pass for approval, with the exception of those two reference licenses, or any other license anybody else felt needed to be looked at.
Glenn, this is Dana. Just one question before I will so move, and this is perhaps a clarification on license 1269 Bear's Den Lounge. Is listed as a package store, but I believe that may be a beverage dispensary license, and that's included in that block. If that could be clarified for me.
Okay. This is Steve Byrup with Three Bears. The building houses, or used to house, both a package store and a beverage dispensary license, but we moved the package store license, and that was license 1270. They're kind of like pairs of licenses. I mean, you know, one number apart, but 1269 is the BDL.
Okay. Thank you for that. That address your question, Dana?
Yes, it does. And I so move.
Okay. All right. So just to be clear, the motion is for approval of license. And I'm going to read them off here. License 263 Cog Hills Package Store in Nenana.
license 533, Houston Lodge Beverage Dispensary, license 746, Moose Lodge number 1206, license 748, Moose Lodge number 1350, license 1269, Bears Den Lounge, Package Tour, license 1436, Pizzeria Delphi, restaurant eating place, license 1450, Milano's Pizzeria, restaurant eating place, license 1625, Fire Tap Ale House, Tecotinu Commons, beverage dispensary, license 1697, Trophy Lounge, beverage dispensary, license 2052, Elf's Den, beverage dispensary, license 2673, Captain Patty's Fish House, a restaurant eating place license, license 2895, Homestead Lounge, sourdough bowl, beverage dispensary, license 3120, The Asylum, beverage dispensary, license 3412, Sullivan Steakhouse, beverage dispensary, license 3508, Hacienda Mexican Restaurant, beverage dispensary, license 3596, Eddie's Sports Bar, beverage dispensary, license 3637, Old Talkeetna Roadhouse, restaurant eating place, license 3709, Oasis Restaurant and Lounge, beverage dispensary, license 4605, Justice Store, package store, license 4816, Mayan Palace, beverage dispensary, license 5178, Bering Sea Restaurant Bar, restaurant eating place, public convenience, license 5436, Hoarfrost Distilling, distillery, license 5437, Turkish Delight, restaurant eating place license, license 5613, Alaskan Spirits Distillery, distillery license, and license 5651, Black Spruce Brewing Company, brewery. So all of those are motion for approval, and Director Klinkhart, I don't believe you need delegation for any of those, correct?
This is Director Klinkhart. Yes, I believe so.
Okay. All right. So motion is for approval of licenses listed. I'll entertain a second.
That's all second that.
Okay. All right. Any discussion on that group of licenses for approval?
Glenn, I'm sorry. On this, for discussion purposes here, I see a lot of this lack of, what is the actual wording? When the server, lack of server education, you know, yep. As far as the violations. So where are we at? It reminds me of the server class, the online training. Where are we at with that as far as, did we approve that, or how are we making it easier for these people and villages and places to get their online server training course?
Go ahead with that.
Yeah, it's Director Klinkhart. That's a really good question, and that's something that I think we're going to deal with not only later in the thing when we talk about approving all current server cards, and if Char is on board, they can also talk about that at that point, but I think that would be a perfect place for us to have more of a discussion of what we're doing to help folks online.
Yep, thank you for that. So, Sarah, if you want to, I think there'll be a much more robust discussion of that exact topic in detail coming just a little bit later.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, thanks. Any other comments or discussion on the motion for approval? Go ahead.
This is Steve Meyer up again with Three Bears. Just after we made the correction before, the 1269 is, as pointed out, the BDL. It got read off as a package store, but I just want to be clear that it is the BDL license that had the NOV and is now in the group that's being approved.
Okay. Director, I guess, Carrie, was that a typo in the agenda, by chance?
This is Carrie Craig. It does appear that was a typo. It should be a beverage dispensary license.
Okay, so the license number is correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so just I think just for formality's sake, I don't know if we need to modify the motion, but just noting that clarification. Appreciate that correction. All right, any further discussion? All right, hearing none, do I have a, actually, just a reminder for folks online to put your phones on mute, just to keep the background clutter to a minimum. We'll do a roll call vote. Sarah Erickson, how do you vote?
Yes.
All right, Dana Lukowicz, how do you vote?
Yes.
All right, Rex Leith, how do you vote?
Yes.
All right, and I vote yes as well. So approval, motion passes. Congratulations. Next two items, we can take them individually. This would be license 324, Seward Ale House, which is tab 90. And the only reason I singled that one out is I'm just kind of reading through things and noticed there was a fatality mentioned in one of the NOVs, unrelated to the, not on the premises, but I just wanted to highlight that one to make sure we looked at it, and I wasn't sure from enforcement, if there were any further actions or any further discussion needed on that license.
Through the chair. Chairman? Yeah, go ahead, James. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Good morning. This is James Holscher. Through the chair, Investigator Hamilton's also on the line, and he was working with Seward Police Department regarding that. And the last I heard is they were still waiting for prosecution regarding that case, and that we don't have any solid updates at this point in time, but it is something that is not closed out yet.
Okay.
And once that occurs, we will bring this back to the board.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And I'll for purposes of discussion, I'll entertain a motion for approval of license 324 Seward Ale House.
So moved.
Okay, moved by Dana. Second by anyone?
This is Rex. I'll second the motion.
Okay. All right, so we've got a motion and a second. This is license 324, Seward Ale House. Any discussion?
Yes. Glenn, this is Sarah.
Go ahead.
You know, I'm really hesitant to renew this license. I think, as you know, our main objective is public safety. And I think in all public server education, you know, this is exactly what we are trying to keep from happening. And, you know, I read the letter from Dan Kofi, and I just, the argument that the bartender really didn't serve him and other friends were buying him drinks, you know, it's the responsibility of the bar and the restaurant owner or whoever to know what's happening in there. And to me, this isn't an excuse. I mean, this is a horrific thing that happened. And it needs to be reminded to people, to restaurant owners, to bar owners, that you can't keep serving people when they are clearly intoxicated. I know things happen, accidents happen, things are missed, but I just don't find it. I'm thankful that you did pull this out and bring it to the board's attention, because I'm very disturbed by this. I don't like just to flip it. Oh, sure, we're going to renew your license. This is really concerning and very sad, very sad. And don't ever want to see this happen, and want to make sure the board doesn't just renew a license when something like this horrific has happened. Just, I mean, so so easily can renew, let's say. I'm not saying I'm completely opposed to it, but I think there needs to be a lot more discussion on this.
And that's why I'm here.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead.
I echo Sarah's concern, and I do appreciate you also pulling it out of the blanket approval of the other licenses. When reading the notice of violation, I had the same concerns, and I don't want to come across as not paying enough attention to this activity or this note of this violation. I share the same concerns. I guess at this point, it seems like it's still an active investigation, and as it's not been closed out, my concern would have been even more so heightened if there was resulting and follow-up criminal offenses that were charged. But given that, and as a server and as a licensee holder, I can understand the other side of the story in that there could be other information that we're not aware of, whether or not some of the intoxication happened at other or acts that resulted in intoxication happened at off-premise that may or may not be able to really hold the licensee accountable for. Some of the notes within there do state that as soon as the intoxication was identified, the individual was asked to leave the premise location. I would like to see further information regarding this prior to making a final decision on this. However, in light of the ongoing investigation, I'm not sure how much more information we will end up receiving. But I didn't want to echo that an instance like this is a concern, at least to me as a board member as well. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Identify yourself again. Sorry, I missed that.
Hamilton.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
I worked with Seward PD on. I initially tried to file a complaint to the DA's office myself, but due to our problems with absence, I was able to. So I created complaints and sent them to Seward PD, and they filed complaints to the DA's office. So the investigation is complete. We're just waiting for the DA's office to see what action they're going to take.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. Through the chair, I'm sorry, who's that?
This is Rex Lee.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Rex.
So I appreciate Sarah's comments. I agree with her 100% that we need to take these matters seriously and move through them. I want to make sure it's clear on the record. I have public safety in the utmost forefront of my thought processes. And one thing I want to point out here, the event that unfolded here is a tragedy, no doubt about it. Someone lost their life. And that is something that I think all aspects of, the legal world, government, private industry, I don't think anyone wants to see that happen again. But when we look at the facts, which is what we have to do of this event, our own notice of violation states that, and I'm going to make sure I read it verbatim, and says that an hour later, Lewis is displaying substantial impairment after consuming several alcoholic beverages given to him by the bartender and patron. So that Mr. Lewis arrives at 22:53 hours, which means at 3:53 or so, he starts displays impairment. At 23:53, that means the bartender asked him to leave at 0007 hours, according to the documents in front of us. So that gives us roughly It shows also that he was provided the last drink about 23:57 hours. So about 10 minutes transpired from the time he was handed the last drink that we love and the time he was asked to leave. If he consumed that beverage in a minute or two or three, literally less than 10 minutes, maybe 7 minutes, maybe 6 minutes transpired until, according to our and the statements of the establishment owner, until he was asked to leave. I don't see 6 minutes in my view being a negligent time delay asking a patron to leave. The challenge I have when I look at this is keyword after he consumed the beverages. Now, if you were serving someone who was already intoxicated, and like I think Sarah pointed out, and I believe Dana, maybe we'll get more facts, and that's what I think is important to look at. But for now, I see a 6 to 7 minute time lapse here where an individual was observed by a couple different written documents here to be displaying signs of intoxication and then asked to leave. So because of that, that's where my thought process is at this time. I think we need to get more information down the road and see if there's other factors or other information, because the challenge we have with the MLB I have with number two is that may not with criminal negligence. And so with criminal negligence, that state of mind, if we're gonna say criminal negligence is allowing someone to stay in an establishment for 6 to 7 minutes after showing signs of intoxication, that's a very tight standard. And I don't know that we wanna have people literally grab people and throw them out the door in less than 5 minutes if they're, waiting for a cab or what it may be, that's for a time delay. So that's my thought process. I'm just looking at the keywords after is very important, not during or prior to consumption, but after the consumption of the alcohol is when the signs were displayed. And then what I'm getting from the numbers is that the last drink was 23:57 hours, and the time he was asked to be removed is 0007 hours. So literally 6 to 7 minutes here. I think when I say this, it seems reasonable that much time would transpire. What occurred is not any way, shape, or form condoned. It's a tragedy in the seamless way. So that's the only reason I say for now that the license I maybe for now, it's more fascinating to revisit this and see that there was a violation. I think our enforcement office did a great job putting the facts together, and they're under a heavy burden, as we all know, just providing an unbiased perspective, which is exactly what they did here. So hopefully that explains my position.
All right. Well, I appreciate
hey, Rex,
that.
This
thank
is
you.
Sarah.
All right. Go ahead, Sarah.
Rex, hey, Rex, would you be in agreement if the board, for the board just to kind of table this until the investigation is complete by the police?
Absolutely, no problem.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
I totally understand. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead, James.
I'm sorry. Through the chair, I just want to make a suggestion that maybe if a conviction comes out of this, enforcement and the director bring this back to the board as an accusation.
Okay. Thank you for that. So those, so we've got some options before us. This is, we're considering a renewal with this motion. And knowing that there is an open investigation, we still, even if we as a board choose to renew this license, we still have recourse if there are further developments downstream.
Hey, Glenn, we have a motion on the table to approve this. So should we make a motion to forget that motion and make a new motion to just table this for now until the investigation is complete?
I will defer to the will of the board. I think regardless of which direction we head, and I don't know if Joan is online, but we as a board still have control. Once we approve something, it doesn't mean we don't get to reconsider things in 2 years. So it's within our authority and discretion at any point to review any of these things. So even if we do choose, if you guys do choose to approve this renewal, it's not necessarily a closed matter. So I'm just throwing that out there.
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead. Who's this?
This is Sherman Ernoff, the Law Offices of Ernoff & Coffey. Dan Coffey was the lawyer on this case, and I'm his partner. And I believe the licensee is trying to call in right now, but I don't think she can get through, according to text. And so I'm sort of jumping in here just to sort of facilitate. Couple things. The investigation is ongoing. It's a super unfortunate set of facts. I think some of the inconsistent facts were pointed out. We've talked to the Seward DA months and months ago, and there was a cause of death identified that's not related to alcohol. So there's a lot of complicating facts. And I guess my suggestion is, why wouldn't the board just approve the renewal now? And if the investigation comes back or if there's issues, I believe the chairman stated it correctly, that this can be pulled back and the license can be taken by an accusation or any other series of tools. But I think the holdback renewal, when these guys are closed right now with everything that's going on, if they are able to open back up, you're going to kill this business for lack of evidence right now. There are no criminal charges, and I don't believe there will be. I'm not just positive on that. I'm just telling you what we've heard. So I would urge the board to let this go as far as the renewal is concerned and bring this back up at a proper time, also when the licensee can be present.
And Mr. Okay. Chairman, this is Joan Wilson.
Go ahead, Joan.
Echoing Mr. Earnhoff's position, I mean, the way this would come back to the board is if your enforcement team and the director determined that there was a violation of law and therefore, accusation would be filed and you would then reconsider whether to suspend or revoke that license.
Thank you for that. So, to answer, Sarah, does that address your concerns?
I'm not ready to vote for this license to be renewed today, so I'll vote no if that's what we're doing.
Okay. Well, we're not quite to that point yet, but you're welcome to talk. So normally this would be ripe, obviously, for the licensee to speak up, but given some of the technological challenges that we're all struggling with here, as was pointed out.
Excuse me, I'm here. I was able to get through. I don't know if anyone can hear me.
Oh, excellent. Okay, yep, no, we can hear you. Please introduce yourself, and love to hear from you.
My husband, Solomon, and myself, Elizabeth DeMoss, are both here. We own the Seward Ale House. We've had it for 13 years, and we're here in Seward, sheltered in place.
All right. Do you have anything to add to the discussion?
You know, I would like to say that my husband and I have been working in high volume, managing high volume bars in Alaska for over 20 years each. We've had zero violations. We both believe strongly in representing the industry in a responsible manner, and we have always advocated for that. And I believe if you do an investigation of any sort on your own, that you will find that that is our reputation. And we are extremely disheartened and extremely upset about this mark on our record and just honestly the events that even, you know, took place. We don't think it was our responsibility, although we are very upset about the whole thing. We have gone above and beyond to represent the industry in Seward to a degree that nobody else has ever done here. We renovated our bar. We have the strictest serving standards in town. People actually make fun of us for how many people we kick out on a regular basis. This was just an extremely unfortunate series of events that just came together in a bad way. And in addition to that, the bartender that was working that night was let go and no longer works for us.
Okay. Appreciate that. Any questions or comments from the board?
I don't think so. We got in.
Said several times that the United States has ramped up testing, but the United States is still not testing per capita.
Okay. Actually, just a reminder of everybody online: if you're not speaking, to please put your blue phones on mute.
Well, thanks very much, on part. Look.
Of course, those folks can't hear us.
It's a very tight. Do you know how many people are in Seoul?
Listen to Donald Trump something or the other. Okay. So with hope, put the phones on mute. Okay. So any further discussion on the motion for approval before us? We have a motion and a second. Sorry, was that somebody needing to speak?
Yeah, this is Rex Lee.
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Rex.
I'd like to see if we can maybe hear a little bit from Mr. Holter. Mr. Holter, do you, from what you've seen, and I ask this of you, you guys are the tip of the spear for us out there, trying to identify the public safety concerns that may be present when it comes to these establishments. Do you feel comfortable if we were to approve this license to stay in place for now, and then obviously you have the ability to bring back additional information to us based on any proceedings, would you, based on what you've seen of this establishment and any previous violations, would you be comfortable that there's not a habitual problem going on there at the establishment, and that we may be able to look at this at a singular event and move forward with approving for now? Would that be something that you think would be feasible based on what you know and feel?
Through the chair.
Go ahead, James.
I have firm belief that the board will make a reasonable determination if the enforcement unit brings back any further information regarding this, whether it's conviction, whether it's a non-conviction, or other violations that might be coming forward. I believe that the board will make the right choice. So I don't have an issue with the license being approved, because everybody is innocent until proven guilty, and that has yet to happen. So I would ask that the board let these things play out and let us bring back to the board an accusation if it gets to that.
Okay, through the chair. Thanks a lot, Mr. Holter. I really appreciate that. And Chair Brady, at this point, I mean, my last comment would be, first of all, I rely heavily on what we hear from the enforcement office, and it sounds like they have they're somewhat comfortable with allowing this license to maintain, and I think because of their ability to present that information to us and their written narrative here on their notice of violation, I'm so comfortable approving the license forward at this point if that's what we decide to vote on.
Okay. Well, appreciate that. Any further discussion on this approval?